Now to Korea. North Korea has threatened to wage a, quote, full-scale war against South Korea after the country accused its northern neighbor of sinking a warship on March 26th of this year by firing a torpedo at it. The attack killed 46 South Korean sailors. The two nations, separated by a 2.2-mile-wide demilitarized zone where there are thousands and thousands of U.S. troops, have long been in a bitter standoff. In fact, the war from the 1950s, the Korean War, actually hasn't officially ended. My next guest worries that this recent development could end the ceasefire, possibly escalate into violent action. Charles Armstrong is the director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, trying to set this into context is difficult because the North Koreans are so hard to gauge. The rhetoric is always so fierce from them. The steps diplomatically, very, very difficult to interpret. Do you have a sense of why North Korea torpedoed this ship and what they may be expecting to get out of this?
Well, it's hard to say exactly why they did it. It does seem pretty clear from the evidence that an international team has dug up that this ship was sunk by a torpedo fired by a North Korean submarine. North Korea has denied the accusation. Why they did this, we never really know. It could be retaliation for earlier clashes along the maritime border last November. It could be Kim Jong-il trying to show his military toughness to others in the leadership in this time of succession. The most worrisome scenario is if there's a sort of rogue commander in the region that did this without orders from Pyongyang, but I don't think that's likely.
Let me just say, you said there is a scenario that a rogue commander in the region might have done it, and you don't think that's likely. But, boy, that certainly underscores the nature of this tripwire here on the Korean Peninsula. There were a lot of analysts yesterday that I listened to and read who were saying what has to be done by the South Koreans now is to restore the sense of deterrence, that North Korea can count on a big military response if they try something like this again, which seems to me argues for South Korea doing something pretty alarming in retaliation. What do you think about this notion of deterrence is questionable on the Korean Peninsula right now?
A direct counterattack is extremely dangerous. I don't think South Korea would take that step. President Lee in South Korea has been pretty tough in his rhetoric, but in his action he's been fairly restrained because he knows that retaliating in any kind of overt military way could escalate out of control into a catastrophic situation on the Korean Peninsula. So we have to be very cautious of pushing things, provoking things too far.
But Charles Armstrong, as you say, South Korea's President Lee has taken a very hard line against North Korea, much more stern than previous administrations there. And it appears as though North Korea is getting a pleasure out of provoking him, which argues that that could get worse as we lead up to the elections in South Korea.
That's right. Lee has taken a tough line since he came into office 2 years ago. There are, as you say, elections coming in the South, and he's got to play to his base. He's a conservative president, and there's a lot of hawkish talk in South Korea that he's got to placate on the one hand, but there's a realistic side to Lee, too, and he knows that if he pushes things too hard, the situation could get out of control, and this would be a disaster for everyone concerned. And the North Koreans know that as well, and so they know that they can get away with this in a certain sense.
Well, let's describe this scenario. I mean, people who have a map can go to the Korean Peninsula and see that there is the DMZ, which is just north of Seoul, the capital of South Korea. What would that scenario be? Would it be missiles fired across the DMZ? Would it be tanks rolling? It's estimated that North Korea has, hundreds of thousands, at the very least, troops ready to roll. Is that absolutely an operative kind of scenario?
Well, hopefully not. But there are 11,000 or so artillery tubes aimed at South Korea, which South Korea certainly couldn't deter all of them. There is a million-plus man army in North Korea, about 70% of which is deployed near the DMZ. And, of course, there's nuclear weapons. So this adds up to a very scary scenario. What can South Korea do? Well, they could step up patrols. They could try to show a tougher position against the North. But I don't think there's any plausible situation in which they would actually attack the North, because that would evoke a response that would be devastating.
So is the real lever here that can control the situation not in Seoul but in Beijing?
China has enormous leverage, at least in theory, over North Korea. They are responsible for about half of North Korea's energy. They could cut off or suspend oil supplies, which would be really pretty devastating to the North Korean economy. But China doesn't want North Korea to be pushed to the brink of instability or collapse. They want to have, as unpredictable as it is, their ally as a buffer against South Korea and the Americans. So China is kind of taking a cautious line. They haven't agreed to the findings of the group that investigated the sinking. They've said it's unfortunate, but they haven't come out and condemned North Korea.
Well, finally, maybe this message is for China. I read yesterday that the Chinese financial interests in South Korea is tens of billions of dollars, that the incentives economically are all towards greater alignment with the South. Maybe the North Koreans are trying to remind the Chinese that they need to stand with the North Koreans here.
Yeah, I think they are trying to send that message, and the Chinese are aware of this. They do have enormous economic interest in South Korea, but they don't want to lose North Korea either, because they are looking toward a possible future of a unified Korea under Seoul's government with American troops right on the Chinese border, and they don't want to see that happen.
Finally, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, is in the region. Does she have a play here, or is it stay behind the scenes?
She's going to send a strong message to Beijing, I'm sure, that says you've got to come out and support some kind of action against North Korea for this. And the Chinese will, I think, do something, but quietly, maybe behind the scenes, to send a message to North Korea that they shouldn't be doing this and to get back to negotiations with the South and with the Americans.
Well, it's certainly an interesting sort of change in the geostrategic shift in that region, in that, you know, in the 1950s, it would have been the U.S. Taking the steps. Now it's Hillary Clinton encouraging the Chinese to take the lead. Certainly an interesting political realignment, not unexpected, but it's the 21st century, not the 20th anymore. Charles Armstrong, director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Armstrong is currently writing a book about North Korea's dealings with the world since the Korean War, and it's certainly a very rich history. Hopefully a new chapter will not be written as a result of this latest saber rattling.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.